And I am glad for the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And Sister Tina Faber, you did another fabulous job today in Sunday school. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for how you've been doing these last few weeks. And we're so thankful for you. And if you have your Bibles, will you go back with us to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 20. Our Sunday school lesson started last week. We are teaching on the order of the resurrection. Now, let's go over the verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 20. The Bible said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now notice this passage of scripture. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. So we are talking about the order of the resurrection. Last week, we talked about Christ's resurrection. The Bible said he is the first fruits and of them that slept. Jesus did come from the grave. We talked last week about the persecution around the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the false theories. But I'm thankful for the proof of the resurrection. And we give you several last week, but I'll just give you one this week. And that is that he lives in my life. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, came and sealed me to the day of redemption. And the result of me being saved is a proof that he came from the grave and was the first fruits. Now, there's a lot of false beliefs about the resurrection. There's some people teach a general resurrection, that he'll get the sheep on one side and the goats on the other side, and that'll be it. But my Bible doesn't teach a general resurrection. My Bible teaches several resurrections under the first resurrection. And I want to show them to you today. And then we'll also show you the second resurrection, or the resurrection of the lost people. Now, last week we talked about the resurrection of Christ. I want you, if you have your Bibles, to go with me to Matthew chapter number 27. Get your Bibles open, turn them over there, and to verse 50 through 53. And I want to show you in this order, Christ number one, but I'm going to show you the second in the order, many Old Testament saints. Now, before the death of Christ and before the resurrection of Christ, everybody went into one or two places when they died. They either went to Hades or to Abraham's bosom. That is before the cross. Now, when Jesus resurrected from the cross, hell enlarged itself, and every soul and spirit of the believers left and went into heaven. But I want to show you in the Bible where many of the people that were in the grave were resurrected physically. Now look at the Bible. This is exciting scripture. The Bible said in Matthew 27, verse 50 through 53, Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now notice this. And the graves were open, and many of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So you say, preacher, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. When Jesus resurrected from a grave, a portion or many of the Old Testament saints came out after his resurrection. He came out first at the earthquake. There's a great earthquake. And after the earthquake, the graves were opened, But they did not come out of the tomb until he came out of the tomb. But many of the Old Testament saints, not all the Old Testament saints. If you study the book of Acts, it talks about David being in the sepulcher even unto this day. But you said, Preacher Smith, why did this happen? I think it is a fulfillment of the book of Leviticus when the priest had the wave offering or a representative offering. And I believe that these many are a wave offering, became the first fruits of the resurrection after Jesus came from the grave. Now, later on, I am going to show you when the rest of the Old Testament saints were resurrected. But this group was a special group. I don't know who it was. I don't know how many it was. All I know is the Bible said that the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. There was an earthquake, and many of those that were in the grave came out and walked into the holy city. And I want you to know something. That's the Bible. And that teaches us there's no general resurrection. Now, let's go to a second thing. Today, let's go on into prophecy and on into the scripture. And let me talk about a third group who also is included in the first resurrection. And that's none other than the church of the living God. If you got your Bibles, open them up now. John chapter 14, verse 3 said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I want to tell you, he told his believers that he was coming back for them. Now, you say, when is the resurrection of the church or the resurrection of the believer? It is at the rapture of the church. Now, let me show you several passages of scripture. I'm going to explain each one of these passages of scripture thoroughly so you can understand. Now, do you have your Bibles open? Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 13 through 18. He said, "But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." This is what we call the rapture of the church. This is not the second coming. The second coming is found in Revelation 19 when he comes back with the church and his feet lands on Mount Olives and Mount Olives cleaves. And that is the second coming. This is the rapture. The rapture is when he comes in the air. The second advent is when he comes back to the earth. Now, the timing of this resurrection is critical. It happens before the tribulation. Now, let me show you another passage of scripture that corresponds with this passage of scripture. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. If you can, go in your Bibles. We're doing Bible study right here in your house. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 53. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Now, let me explain those two passages of scripture, and then I'll show you the timing here in a moment. The Bible said that talked about those that slept. Now, let me explain that. When you die as a believer, your soul, your spirit, the real you, goes into heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And your body goes back to the earth, and your body sleeps. Your body is in a place of sleep. But when the resurrection happens, when the trumpet sounds, when the archangel's voice is heard, those dead bodies will resurrect, and those that are in heaven, and the spirit and the soul, will meet the body in the air. There'll be a resurrection, a bodily, physical resurrection. Somebody ought to say amen right there. And no wonder it said, therefore comfort one another with these words. Now, I am a pre-tribulation rapturist. I believe the rapture happens prior to the tribulation period. I believe my resurrection, the resurrection of the believer, will happen at and before, or excuse me, before the tribulation period. He's coming after us, and it's pre-trib. We will not spend 1 minute in the tribulation period. You say, Preacher Smith, can you prove that in the Bible? Now, remember the two passages. Let me give you a third corresponding chapter or verse about this. Revelation chapter number 4. Let's just turn in our Bibles over to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And as you're turning, I am going to stop at Revelation 1 just for a moment. And verse 19. And read a verse to kind of gives you an outline of the book of Revelation. The Bible said, write the things which thou hast seen. That's the glorified Christ. And the things which are. And then he writes in chapter 2 and chapter 3 about the church age and about the churches, the seven churches of Asia. And then chapter number 4, it says, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, let me explain this. Boy, this is good. I'm about to shout right here. I'm trying to give you some good stuff today. Get your Bibles. Come on, I'm teaching you from the Word of God. Get your Bibles. Go to Revelation 4 now. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a what? A trumpet. Now, all you got to do is go back to 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15, what did we hear? We heard a trumpet. A trumpet sound. These are all three the same event. Now, let's go on. Talking with me and said, come up hither, or snatches us out, or rapturous, and I'll show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look like a jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow around about it, the throne in the sight like an emerald, and round about the throne, listen to this, were 24 elders. I believe that's the church of the living God. And upon the seats I saw the 24 elders sitting, clothed, listen to this, in white raiment, and they had their heads, or on their heads, crowns of gold. So what are you saying, Preacher Smith? The tribulation starts in Revelation chapter number 6. In Revelation 4, it shows us the rapture. It shows us the church, I think, represented by the 24 elders. What did they have? They had the white fine linen. If you go back to Revelation 19, it talks about the fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints, the church. The church is going to be clothed in fine linen. It doesn't say anywhere in the Old Testament that the Old Testament saints will be clothed in fine linen, nor does it say anything in the Old Testament that the Old Testament saints will have crowns of gold. You said, where did these crowns of gold come from? So let me explain to you. When we are raptured, When our resurrection happens, we are going to go up. Somebody help me preach right there. Our body is going to be changed and be made like Christ. And we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And we will receive reward. And we will receive crowns. And they will, and right here in Revelation 4 is a proof of it. Now let's go over all this again. He comes after the church. And we are in that first resurrection at the rapture. He comes in the air, not to the earth, in the air. His coming to the earth with the saints is the second advent. But the rapture is the first phase of the second advent when he comes in the air for the church. Then there'll be a 7-year period of tribulation. Then he comes back with his church and he comes down through the Valley of Megiddo, has that great last war, and then sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives cleaves, and then the Lord Jesus goes down through the eastern gate and sits upon the throne of David. Oh, Lord God, I'm about to shout and praise his name right now. Church, that's for us. We'll be with him. No wonder it said, we'll ever be with the Lord and comfort one another with these words. I want you to know something. I believe all this stuff we're seeing around us right now is picturing the resurrection of the believer and the rapture of the church. And we see the outskirts of the tribulation coming right now in our world today. We're not in the tribulation, boy, but we're close. Whoa, we're at 11:59, and I believe we're ready to get blasted off and ready to be yanked out of this world and ready to get a new resurrected physical body. Whew. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise him. Let me go back over this just a little bit more, just a little more. Look what it said. Don't be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, as you saw or not. You are not to sorrow. It's a rejoicing time. When someone dies, they go to heaven. But then say, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Those whose body's in the grave, God's going to bring their soul and spirit back, and then we'll be united together, and we'll be resurrected physically. We'll have a new body likened unto Christ's body. And when's it going to happen? It's going to happen prior to the tribulation period. Now, there's some guys, and they had no scripture. They just take things totally out of context, try to teach a mid-tribulation rapture, a post-tribulation rapture. Now, there's a group of nutheads that has the rapture 3/4 of the way through the tribulation period. And they try to pick this and pick that. And by the way, they have no scripture for it, and they do not literally interpret the word of God line upon line or precept upon precept, because if they had and they would be a premillennialist and a pre-tribulation rapture, and they would believe the Bible right, and they would believe in a resurrection. I want you to know something. Let me go on just a little further. I told you there's not going to be a general resurrection. We're going to be resurrected and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'll show you a little bit later where the lost will be resurrected and stand before God at the white throne judgment. But when we get raptured out, we're going to get raptured. We're going to have a reward. We're going to have a reunion. Oh, happy day. I've had several people in my church pass in these last few years. And I've had several, even during this pandemic, and people say, is there any hope? Do we have hope of a resurrection? Hallelujah, because he came out and became the first fruit. We are coming out of the grave at the rapture of the church. So let's go a little further. A lot of teaching, isn't it? Now get your Bibles, and I want you to go over to Revelation chapter number 11. Revelation chapter number 11, and I want to give you, in the order of the resurrection, We have Christ, the first fruits. Then we had many of the Old Testament saints. Then we had the rapture of the church. Now I want to introduce you to two people in the book of Revelation. We call them the two witnesses. Now I'm going to start reading at Revelation chapter number 11. And I want to go down to verse 3. Now, I'll take you all the way down. This is great verses. I'm excited about them, and I want to share them with you. The Bible said in verse 3, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. They have power to shut up heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them into blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues, so as often they will. And they shall have finished their testimony. The beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overtake them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and the kindreds and the tongues and the nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days," look at this, this is a great teaching, "and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up upon their feet, and great fear came upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up hither." Woo! "And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and her enemies beheld them." Now, this is good teaching. I want to talk about the two witnesses. First of all, I'm asked all the time, who are they? Now, I know there's been a lot of debate about that. And I think I know who they are. I can't prove it 100%. If you've seen the description of them and what they've done, it gives you an idea. I am almost 100% sure that one of them is Elijah. Because Malachi said Elijah will come back in that great and terrible day of the Lord. So I believe one of them is Elijah. And then I believe the other one is Moses. Neither one of them finished their ministry. I believe right now they are. They represent the law and the prophets. Boy, this is good teaching. You ought to get your antenna up now. This is wonderful. They come and they preach. I believe the result of their preaching is there'll be revival. The 144,000 will be saved. There'll be great revival during that time. Hallelujah. Many heathen nations will be saved, and people will be saved during the tribulation period. That's right, I said it. And you said, how are they going to get saved? They're going to get saved by the blood of the Lamb, if you read Revelation chapter number 7. Amen right there. Now let's get the scene. They come on the scene. They're hated. They're despised. The beast, the ungodly one, comes out and kills them, and they die, and they lay right in the street, on the street of Jerusalem, 3.5 days. Now, can't you imagine the news media now? And the Bible said that everybody watched them. The whole world beheld them. God was predicting satellite TV back then. The whole world watched them. And their body laid in the grave. And I'll tell you what, they had another Christmas. I call it the Black Christmas. An ungodly Christmas. People were celebrating these two men of God, most likely Moses and Elijah, celebrating their death and giving each other gifts and mocking God and mocking them and making a display of them. But then God did something. The Bible said, and the Spirit of life came in them. Whoa! And they stood up on their feet. Could you imagine Wolf Blitzer then? Could you imagine some of them liberal TV shows then? So that news media, they'd have went bonkers then, wouldn't they? They came to their feet. The whole world saw it. And then God said, come up hither. This was right in the middle of the tribulation period. Because we know right after that, the seventh trumpet is sounded that will bring forth the seven vows, which contains the wrath of Almighty God. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation period is when God pours his wrath upon us and upon this world. Hallelujah. Are you getting somewhere with me? Isn't this going to be exciting? Now, the church won't be here. And by the way, let me stop. Let me slow down. Some of my mid-tribulation rapture guys, some of these Looney Tunes I call them, knuckleheads, believe this is the rapture of the church. They believe when the two witnesses are raptured, that's us. When they go out, that's us. That is not us. This is in the middle of the tribulation. This is after the church has already left. Church is in heaven. We're down there looking down from heaven, watching all that's going on. Hey, by the way, if you study the Bible, this last half of the tribulation is going to be so traumatic and so terrible. The Bible says that there'll be a hush or a silence in heaven. It's going to be an awful time. Can you see them mocking these two witnesses? Now, you say, preacher, I just don't agree with you. They're Moses and Elijah. Well, that's okay. Whether you agree with me or not, that's okay. But there are two witnesses. And they did die. And they were in the on the street of Jerusalem 3.5 days. And the Spirit of life came upon them. And they were resurrected. And then God did call them up. And you cannot dispute that. And that's right in the middle. And they are part of the first resurrection in that order. Now let's go over the order again. We got Christ, number one. Amen. Being the first fruit. Then we got many Old Testament saints, number two in the order, a part of the first resurrection. Then we got the church, number three in the order, before the tribulation. Somebody help me preach. And thank God I'm a member of the church, a part of the church. Now, I want you to know this. I do not believe the church will be containing the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. I believe it's New Testament believers. Now, then number four, we had the two witnesses. Now, I may have time. Let me look. Yeah, I do. Let me go a little further. Now, what about the Old Testament saints? Any scripture about them? When are they going to be resurrected? When is the predominant group of Old Testament saints resurrected according to the scripture? Not according to my view or your view or somebody else's view, but according to the scripture, when will they be resurrected? I'm going to show you. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Daniel. Go on in your Bibles. I want you to see all this. Daniel chapter number 12, verse 1 and 2. They're fifth in the order. When is the timing of this resurrection? After Jacob's trouble. Who will be included? The Old Testament saints. Now, look at Daniel chapter 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one of them that should be found written in the book. Listen to this. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This is the resurrection of Israel, the Old Testament saints. Now, Isaiah even deals with this a little bit. In Isaiah chapter 26 and 19, says the dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, sing ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Ezekiel chapter 37 also covers this period. And verse number 13 through 14. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. One of these days, those dry bones that we read about in Ezekiel will be made alive and will resurrect, and God will restore Israel, and God will resurrect the Old Testament saints. The Old Testament saints, Israel. Hey, by the way, God's not done with Israel. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. There's another false doctrine. There's another false doctrine out there called replacement theology, that the church replaces Israel. In other words, God has no future for Israel after the church. And the church replaced Israel. That's a false doctrine. God is going to deal with Israel. Right now, Israel is blinded in part. They're blinded. But one day, God is going to resurrect Israel. And by the way, Israel's going to go under the rod. They're going to be judged. And we'll find out those that were right with God and those that wasn't. And there will be a resurrection of Israel. Somebody help me preach right here and teach the word of God. God promised them, and they will enter into the millennial as God's people. Let me go one more step as I'm talking about the Old Testament saints. David, during the millennial kingdom, was set as a co-regent with the Lord Jesus. And they'll rule and reign from Jerusalem. And boy, what a happy day when Donald Trump declared Jerusalem the capital of Israel. Hallelujah. I'm sure a lot of the Muslims didn't like it, and they didn't. And a lot of people in America didn't like it, and they didn't. But thank God for our president. He recognized Jerusalem as the capital. And I want you to know, it is the capital of Israel. And one of these days, hallelujah, Christ will reign with it from the throne of David. And David will be co-regent. And it's going to be a wonderful day. And the Old Testament saint, as God promised them, will be resurrected. And it'll happen at the end of Jacob's trouble. Now, let me check. Whoo, dear Lord. Let me give you one more thing. Just one more. I'm having a good time, so I might as well give you one more. Amen? Somebody say amen for one more. How about the martyrs? And there'll be some martyrs during the tribulation period. The tribulation saints, they'll be martyred. When are they going to be resurrected? I'm glad you asked, because they also are a part of the first resurrection. And that's Revelation chapter 20. I'll close with this. And verse 4 through 6. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, that during the tribulation period, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But rest the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So at the beginning of the millennial kingdom, these Old Testament martyrs, or excuse me, these martyrs of the tribulation period will be resurrected. Hallelujah. They're the ones that were under the altar crying out, how long, how long? And God give them a time. And they are also, as you heard, a part of the first resurrection. I want you to know you ought to be glad you're a part of the first resurrection, because if you're a part of that, the second death will have no claim over you and cannot touch you if you've been saved by the grace of God. I hope you've enjoyed Sunday school today. God bless you for listening today.